Good morning and welcome to Midpoint, your midweek, mid-morning source for news and public affairs from a local perspective. I'm your host, Shelley Reback, and we have Lamar Robinson running the soundboard for us and Frank Knox answering the phones. If you'd like to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. You can call into the show on 813-239-9663, email us at dj@wmnf.org, or text us at 813-433-0885. Today, we are taking a look at a very important and very big topic that I think is not getting enough attention, and that is the sorry state of our local foster care and child welfare system and how it can be improved for the children in desperate need of services. This is a big topic. We obviously can't cover it in its entirety, but we can bring some more attention to the issues. Let me set the stage. You may have heard that Eckerd Connects, the private company contracted by the state of Florida Department of Children and Families, will no longer provide foster care and child services in the Tampa Bay region next year. The State Department of Children and Families says that they've been fired. Eckerd says that they had already decided to quit. Meanwhile, the Pinellas County Sheriff has Eckerd under criminal investigation. And while the nonprofit is also being investigated by the state's inspector general for overpaying its top executives, there is a big empty space where they used to be, and the future of foster care and children's services in the Tampa Bay region is up in the air. Florida Department of Children and Families Secretary Siobhan Harris said Eckerd had a history of placing children in unlicensed settings and had jeopardized the health, safety, and welfare of dependent children under their care. The nonprofit has faced criticism for a handful of high-profile deaths of children under its watch, and it struggled to find long-term placements for teenagers in care. Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galtieri launched his criminal investigation of Eckerd Connects after it became clear to him that Eckerd housed foster kids in what the sheriff called disgusting and deplorable conditions, where one child was injured and another overdosed. The sheriff said too frequently children were sleeping on cots and under desks in local offices. Some slept in dirty clothes without toiletries, towels, or access to hot meals. These recent accidents and incidents raised alarms about the level of care and supervision at the makeshift accommodations, he said. Eckerd Connects won their Hillsborough contract in 2012, 4 years after it was hired to run the Pinellas-Pasco district. But it has struggled with high turnover of case managers among its subcontractors, and in 2019, it fired the local nonprofit that provided case management services after it was sharply criticized by the state for its handling of three cases in which children died while under the watch of the state. Eckerd claims their contracts to provide child welfare and foster care services in Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsborough were woefully underfunded by the state, making it almost impossible to provide adequate services. The nonprofit has long complained that state funding did not increase even as the number of children in foster care rose. Eckerd Connects says it ended up with Florida's two largest child welfare districts, but received millions less than some other parts of the state. If you have comments about these issues that you'd like to share, give us a call at 813-239-9663, email us at dj@wmnf.org, or text us at 813-433-0885. Both of my guests today have dedicated their careers to children's services, and I'm hoping they will tell us where we go from here and how we can protect and serve the most vulnerable children in the Tampa Bay region when the system that is supposed to do so is in such apparent chaos. In the studio with me is Kelly Paris, Executive Director of the Children's Board of Hillsborough County. The Children's Board was established in 1988 by the voters of Hillsborough County, who passed a referendum to create a special taxing district with a board that was charged with funding and providing children's services in the county, primarily through partner organizations such as Boys and Girls Clubs, Healthy Start Coalitions, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, the Children's Home Network, and many more. So welcome to Midpoint, Kelly. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Shelley. I'm glad to be here today.
On the telephone shortly will be Robin Rosenberg, Deputy Executive Director of Florida's Children's First. a nonprofit advocacy organization for Florida foster children and at-risk children and youth. Let me start with you, Kelly. So given the current situation with Eckerd Connects, who's minding the store? Who or what is making sure that the needs of foster children and at-risk children in Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco are met now that Eckerd Connects has been relieved of their duties? Who's making sure that they have food, clothing, housing, education, medical care, privacy? Who's watching them?
Well, in Hillsborough County, Eckerd will be here till July 1st, so they're still technically on board and have pledged to do everything they can to ensure a smooth transition to the next lead agency that comes in. Now, having said that, I will tell you that for some time now, they have been down, I think the latest I heard was 40% of their FTEs in case management.
What are FTEs?
Full-time equivalent employees in their case management staff.
So those are the people that are like day-to-day in charge of the kids.
They are day-to-day, and those caseloads have bloomed to the point of danger, in my opinion. After looking at a couple of Fridays ago, the caseloads, there was one case manager identified that had 154 children on the caseload. That is not in any manner, that is dangerous for the children, that's dangerous for the case manager.
So there's one case manager who's responsible for monitoring and making sure that all of these needs are met for 154 children?
Correct.
On a daily basis?
Correct, and there's several with 80 children on their caseload and several with 90 children on their caseloads. So this is unmanageable and is dangerous for the children and the children, the families, and the case manager.
So with a 40% loss of case managers, is there any continuity of care and attention, you know, for these kids? Do at-risk kids know who they can turn to now that, you know, there's such a turnover of your responsibility?
Well, that all goes into making the situation unstable in Hillsborough County, and certainly Pinellas and Pasco. They've got the new lead agency on board, and I don't know how they've staffed up with their case managers on the other side of the bay. But as far as Hillsborough goes, they're in desperate need of case managers, and we need those. You can't just say you've got a degree in social work or psychology and you come on board and act as a case manager. There's a certified training they have to go through. So there's time in the pipeline that you have to wait in order to onboard those case managers. So we're in a pretty tough situation here, but I will say that Hillsborough County, as soon as we knew that there was a impending crisis in change management, we knew that we had to immediately jump into action. So the Community Alliance of Hillsborough County has really taken the lead on that.
Well, explain to our listeners, what is the Community Alliance and how does your work with the Children's Board and the Community Alliance align with or supplement the work of the community-based organization like Eckerd Connects or whoever the next organization will be?
The enabling legislation that created community-based care, and that statute also created the Community Alliance of Hillsborough County. And the Community Alliance statutorily is 8 individuals from the county, which it can be expanded to create more members that will really will represent the diversity of Hillsborough County. So right now, I'm one of the Children's Board is one of the statutory members, the judge, the school, the county commission, faith-based representative, also the sheriff's office, and so we're really looking to put a plan together. I will tell you that the Children's Board itself agreed last board meeting to fund a coordinator for the Community Alliance. So Kaylin Graham has come on board in that position, and she will be coordinating a plan that we're going to send to Tallahassee in order to inform services that are in Hillsborough County. But I want to say that, and I told the Children's Board, governing board, this, I'm not sure that privatization works in social services. I've got strong feelings about that because I haven't seen the results of that.
Well, you know, that's one of the questions that I wanted to discuss on today's show. And isn't there a debate over whether to return child welfare services provided by DCF, the Department of Children and Families, or to continue investing in these community-based care lead agencies like Eckerd Connects? I mean, originally, I think that the debate was that local community-based organizations could better serve the local population, had a better handle on the needs of the local children in their community, rather than a one-size-fits-all statewide program. But what we've seen is these community-based organizations have gotten so huge, like Pasco, Pinellas, Hillsborough, all this entire region run by the same community-based organization. That's a huge community.
That is a huge community, and I'm not going to say that what we're going to do with this plan will work with community-based care. I'm not willing to guarantee that. I think we will have the best shot that Hillsborough has had so far to see if community-based care works, but I'm not willing to step up and say, I know we can make this work, because I don't know that privatization is the right way to go with social services. Hillsborough County's managing entity for behavioral health care is also privatized. And as you know, and probably many of your listeners know, the Department of Children and Families is the umbrella agency that houses the behavioral health care managing entity too. But this ME runs, I think, 15 other counties. So that becomes not community-based care at that point.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about a private entity being responsible for what has traditionally been governmental or quasi-governmental duties and responsibilities, like taking care of the most vulnerable among us, you know, the question is, are we better off with the state taking that on, or are we better off with a private entity? Because it seems like every time another governmental function is taken over by a private company, it provides more opportunities for corruption and graft. And now we have an investigation by the Inspector General of the Department of Children and Families into allegations that these executives of Eckerd Connects were basically double-dipping their salaries and overpaying themselves, and that's an ongoing investigation as well. I think that the sheriff is also looking into that aspect as well. And it seems like when you put private companies in charge of governmental functions, inevitably there's some opportunity for graft and corruption.
My if I had a crystal ball and I could create a system for Hillsborough County, it would be that the Department of Children and Families locally holds the contracts of the case management agency, of the service providers, and that way they could provide quality assurance and get community feedback at a local level and be very transparent about it. And with the Community Alliance exercising their statutory obligations and providing oversight for those services and the department at a local level, I think would work beautifully in Hillsborough County. But the legislation only allows for a temporary, right now, a temporary takeover by the local Department of Children and Families. Now, temporary is negligible depending on which side you're on. So that legislation would need to be changed, and it can be changed. If enough people get out there and enough of your listeners contact Tallahassee and say, we want this really local. We don't want privatization. We want the local department to hold the contracts, and we want to have input, and we want feedback, and we want it to be a transparent, completely transparent process.
Well, that's seems like a good transition to bring Robin Rosenberg into the conversation. Robin, are you on the air with us?
I am. Good morning, Shelley and Kelly.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Robin. I miss you.
that Robin's calling in from out of town. But that seems like a good transition after what Kelly said. because Florida's Children First is an advocacy organization, and you know, that's your organization, and I know that you've been involved in advocating for legislation that would benefit at-risk children and youth in Florida. And I wonder if what is your position, your organization's position on the issues that Kelly's raised about privatization and whether or not we should be looking for a new Eckerd Connects, or whether we should be basing our child welfare system in the hands of DCF locally.
Sure. So I would say, you know, I don't think my organization or anyone involved in it at the outset was enamored with privatization, and clearly, there were problems with how the state was running child welfare when it moved to privatization. And there will be problems if the state takes it back. It's not a magic bullet either to privatize or to unprivatize. But what we have seen are a number of issues that come up in privatization, and two areas particularly, the issue of accountability and responsibility, you know, because at the end of the day, the state has the police power. The state is removing children. The state is taking responsibility for children. It ultimately rests with the state of Florida through its agency of DCF. And so DCF has to maintain the accountability and the responsibility, and they've ebbed and flowed in their ability to do that. And it creates layers of management which are very expensive. And so it's not working well, clearly in the Bay Area, and in other parts of the state. There are some parts of the state where the system is working better for children. And my personal belief is that is based on the quality of the leadership in those organizations, how they spend their time, the culture they build among their staff and their contractors, and how they spend their money.
Well, is it also a size thing? I mean, is it possible to understand some of the problems with Eckerd Connects were resulting from the fact that they were just too big? You know, that originally the idea was lead agencies were supposed to manage individual counties, at least in the major urban areas. But
communities, yeah.
Yeah.
And judicial circuits. I think the issue more is the size of the organization, not necessarily the size of the county or the community. So running child welfare is one of many things that Eckerd does. And, you know, when you have a homegrown entity that's taking on the responsibility of the lead agency, and that is all they do, and then all of their time is focused on making the child welfare system better in their community, right? And there are some lead agencies that have multiple counties that do have that focus. So it's, you know, the issue is about getting the right thing for each community. And I think of what Kelly is talking about, and, you know, I might read that law a little bit different. And DCF is taking the position that the law needs to change. But in any event, if it's not the right thing in our community, we should be able to define in Hillsborough County how the child welfare system should run. And we shouldn't take it away from a community where it's working well, right? Because any change will be traumatic to the system. So change for change's sake is not what we would advocate for, but change so that each community can get the right thing for the children and parents in their community, that's what needs to happen. Clearly, things are not working on both sides of the Bay right now, and doing the same old, and especially, you know, plucking another existing entity who's already got a ton of work on their plate, that is a really challenging concept. And so I share Kelly's concern about, you know, nobody else bid against Eckerd the first time the contract went out. Who are they going to dredge up to try to bid against them now?
Right.
You know, if people are not lining up to do it, and there's not a local entity that's creating to do it, then they're stretching and they're reaching. And that's when we've seen failure before.
Right.
There were challenges in Pinellas County, and they begged the Sarasota Y to come up from Sarasota and run Pinellas, and that did not work out. And then they begged Eckerd to take it over. And look at, here's where we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, begging the department, begging someone to come in is stretching them from their work, and it takes away from the community that they're already serving. So it's not a great idea.
Well, we are talking about the recent problems in the child welfare system in the Tampa Bay region with my guests, Kelly Paris, Executive Director of the Children's Board of Hillsborough County, and Robin Rosenberg, the Deputy Director of Florida's Children First, an advocacy organization for at-risk kids. If you have comments or questions for my guests, please give us a call at 813-239-9663, email us at dj@wmnf.org, or text us at 813-433-0885. We have an email from DeMarco who says, schools, prisons, healthcare, and state services should never be private, for-profit enterprises. It's like throwing our children and every other vulnerable sectors of our population to the wolves for profit. This is from Greg. Eckerd Connects is a nonprofit, but certainly people, individuals, have profited, according to the Inspector General of DCF, potentially to the point of possible corruption, and therefore they've instigated an investigation into this double-dipping with salaries and overpayments. And so there's opportunities for profit even in nonprofit organizations. But let me take a short break for an announcement right now, and we'll be back in a moment with my guest Kelly Paris and Robin Rosenberg talking about child welfare in the Tampa Bay region.
This is a WMNF public service announcement. Job Site Theater presents Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet in the Strass Center's Jabe Theater from January 12th through February 6th. Set against an original 80s-inspired score by Jeremy Douglas and directed by David Jenkins, Job Site draws the Bard's timeless tales into a modern context. Weekday matinee field trip performances available for school groups. More at jobsitetheater.org.
And we're back. Again, we are talking about the child welfare system and the chaos that's occurred recently with the firing or perhaps quitting of Eckerd Connects, the private nonprofit corporation that was responsible in Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsborough for the foster care system and child welfare system. And I wonder, Kelly and Robin, how has this circumstance, the firing or quitting, the state says they fired Eckerd, Eckerd claims they quit, but how has that changed the dynamic in Tallahassee, if at all? Is there any indication that the legislature is planning to either increase funding for our region for another private nonprofit or for the local DCF office that is going to have to pick up this responsibility if they don't have another nonprofit lined up to take over in July when Eckerd Connect is ready to go? Have you, the session just started, but have you heard that Tallahassee is ready to move in some way on this issue?
Robin probably has more information on the actual legislation part of it. But I would say very openly that I'm not going to go with we need more money without knowing more about how money should be informing the services that need to be evidence-based, that need to be evidence-informed. I'm not going to say throw money at this problem and it's going to solve it, because it's a very complicated problem that obviously is the system needs to be restructured in Hillsborough County and for it to operate and keep children safe. But Robin probably has more information on the legislation that's been filed currently.
Sure. Well, first, I would say that both the Senate President and the Speaker of the House are from this area, and they are both personally concerned with child welfare. So there are definitely attention being given to the situation. I watched the Secretary Harris do a presentation to the House Children, Families, and Seniors Committee and kind of explain how wonderfully they handled the takeover and Pinellas, which I think was very concerning. There is a lot of child welfare legislation. Some of it will put some substantial money into the system, but not for the lead agencies. There's the Senate President's bill that went through yesterday, its first committee, would increase subsidies to foster parents that, to help with child care, and to the relatives who are caring for children who currently get less than foster parents. One of the major solutions to our problem is, A, taking care of families so that kids don't have to be removed, and B, taking care of the people that are willing to take care of them so that they don't have to move around and can stay with their family. So there's definitely attention being given to that. There is a bill that would change the allocation of funding, and that is on the table. That is consistently a concern. That the CDC lead agencies are lobbying for an additional $40 million for case management.
CBCs are what? Explain to the listeners, what are CBCs?
Sure. The CBC is the Community-Based Care Lead Agency.
So that's like an ECRD.
That's the ECRD, right. And so they have a basically a trade association of those organizations called the Florida Coalition for Children, and they are lobbying hard for an additional $40 million for case manager salaries. And as a general proposition, I agree with Kelly that more money is not a solution, but we know in this labor market right now, it's hard to get people to do anything, and so they might actually support it with regard to that this year. And they're really, that really is a crisis, and that's a crisis in Hillsborough especially. There are far too few case managers, and that is going to have a really extremely negative impact to children. So I think there will be some changes. I don't think it'll be, there's no current proposal for a major overhaul of how the system works, but there are tweaks and there probably will be some additional money by the end of the year.
Robert, I completely agree with you about the case management salaries, and I was speaking more to the other structural way in which money is spent and to keep children and families stable. For example, as you know, Robin, that the Children's Board handles $1 million of ECRD's flexible funds. When you break those funds down and look at how much of that was spent in out-of-home care and how much of it was spent in home care, it's staggering, the difference. The out-of-home was $500,000 and change, and the in-home was less than $100,000. It was less than $50,000, actually. And so we've got to try to keep those children stable in their homes if they're safe, and support those families and not remove them to begin with, because you know that, you know, once a child has been removed three times, it's a lifelong detriment to that child's mental health, physical health, health and stability, period.
And it seems that, you know, there are some community-based care organizations that have reasonable salaries for their executive staff and management staff, but others don't. And that seems to be the source of this new Inspector General investigation. You know, when governing boards for these organizations dole out these huge paychecks to their top bosses, you know, that are larger than some state university presidents or heads of public school districts and area hospitals, it's a problem, you know, that's where the money is going instead of to the frontline case management workers and to services necessary to keep those kids safe and healthy.
Nonprofits, excuse me, Robin, go ahead.
I think it's a little even worse than that, Shelley, because what the IG can look at is only what the statute requires, which is the reporting on top three executives and a comparison to the Secretary of DCF salary. But what it doesn't get at are the additional layers of management in those organizations of folks that could have really high salaries, and what percentage of what they take in the contract is going to fund their own salaries, in contrast to what percentage is going to fund the on-the-ground workers and supervisors that are directly dealing with kids. And I don't think the IG can scratch the surface of that, and that is where a lot of money goes.
Well, is there any legislation pending or proposed that would address that, to expand the Inspector General's jurisdiction?
No. Mm-hmm. There's nothing pending now that would tackle really a thorough look at, and it probably would be the best to just make it like an OPAGA, the government, you know, Office of Planning and Performance Government Accountability, the legislative version of a government accountability office, to study of where the money is going, because I think that's the first step, is to understand where it's going.
And Robin, you know, the lack of transparency in this privatized system, at least in Hillsborough County, has really prevented a lot of the community to get more involved in the situation. I mean, you've got you can't get accurate numbers. You can't get, and you just have to keep peeling back the layers of the onion in order to find the answer to some of these questions that we've all been looking for so long. So I think privatization has the opportunity to be non-transparent in a way that government doesn't.
So there's no legislation pending or proposed to address the issue of transparency of these community-based care organizations, Robin?
Nope, not that either, huh?
And that's where I can't understand the public not just having a, fit about.
Yeah, this is your tax dollars.
It is your tax dollars.
And the children in your community.
And Robin, do you have the exact amount of the budget for Hillsborough County? By chance?
I don't. The contract for Eckerd?
Yes.
I'll try to see if I can find it while we're talking. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Well, we're talking about the recent problems or continuing problems in the child welfare system in the Tampa Bay region with my guests, Kelly Paris, the executive director of the Children's Board of Hillsborough County, and Robin Rosenberg, the deputy director of Florida Children's First, which is an advocacy organization for at-risk kids. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a call at 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text us at 813-433-0885. This is a very big topic, and it's one that we obviously can't address in its entirety, but the fact that it just doesn't seem to be getting enough attention in the news media and certainly in Tallahassee. So far, these questions that I've been asking of our lobbying and advocacy organization representative here on the show are giving me no comfort that doesn't seem to be any legislation pending on some of these fundamental issues.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I mean, children are Florida's greatest resource, and they're our greatest resource, period. And if you're not going to take care of your children, I mean, that's how communities are judged by how they care for their children and their elderly, I think. So, but I will say that the Community Alliance has taken some steps to uphold their statutory obligations. So we'll be submitting a plan to the Secretary of the Department of Children and Families shortly after February 4th on what the community's expectations are for community-based care. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Shelley, I'm not going to guarantee that this is going to work because I just don't know that privatization is the right way to go. But I do know that Hillsborough County is going to give it our best shot, and we're going to try our best to make sure that children and families are taken care of and they're healthy and safe. So having said that, I think that's the best we can do. And we do have a coordinator now, so we're moving forward with that, and we're taking input from the community on what should go in the plan. So hopefully we'll end up with a good plan on what our expectations are. Now, how that delivery is done is not going to, be in our control.
Yeah, that's the delivery of services is pretty much outside your control as
right.
The Children's Board, right?
But correct. I will say, so the contract for Eckerd and Hillsborough is currently $88 million, and Pinellas is $80 million, almost $81 million. So that's the current amount of money that the state is spending in the community. And while the accountability of the management is not subject to legislation this year, there was substantial legislation 2 years ago to look at the accountability for the performance on the ground, and that's really critical. How, if people are taking a pile of money, if the kids are getting what they need and the families are getting served, those are two separate issues. And there is, it's finally coming to fruition, and we ought to be able to get better information from real-time review of cases to make sure that the people on the ground are getting the work done. And that has been the focus of the accountability legislation the past couple of years. So attention might turn to the management level, but we're starting with the on the ground and the impact to families.
And these numbers that we're hearing, 88 million, 80 million for the county services amount, those are like capitated contract amounts, aren't they? In other words, that amount of money is going to go to the organization, and then they're going to determine how it's spent, but they get that money regardless, that, you know, so that if they can, if they can save money here or save money there or shave off, you know, some services that they can claim are not necessary, they're still getting that 88 million. It doesn't,
they get that 88 million and they get some additional money. So that's the upfront contract that they have, sort of a safety valve if there were to be a huge intake of influx of kids. And Eckerd on both sides of the bay has tapped into that risk pool to get additional money. They've also gotten what they call back of the bill money, which is tapping funds in a year that were unspent for other things. So that the concept is capitated, but they've actually been getting a lot more. But the concept is the state doesn't pay per child that comes in. They give the agency the money, and the hope is that they'll invest it and helping kids stay home and helping families stay together, so that they'll reduce the number of kids who come into care. And really, one of Eckerd's big failures in the local community is their failure to find homes for children. So by putting them in group homes, that's extraordinarily expensive. And that's where a disproportionate amount of their money has been going, is to pay for group homes, which are not good for kids and cost a lot of money. So.
And what about this business of these revelations that so many kids were basically living in offices, especially in Pinellas?
It's worse in Hillsborough, and it is today worse in Hillsborough.
Today it's worse in Hillsborough?
It is worse in Hillsborough. Eckerd was questioned at the last Community Alliance and said that they have between 40 and 60 children a night that are on night to night. That is torture.
Yeah.
And we're talking about some of them very young children, or in a placement where they are brought to a foster home at 11 o'clock at night and picked up at 6 in the morning.
And then people wonder why the teachers are wondering why they're asleep in school. Robin, going back to the contract, statewide contracts for community-based care agencies, I think the whole system, why would you pay more if you have more children out of care? I used to run a mental health system, and the state paid us more to keep people out of the state hospitals. It seems like it's the opposite of what it should be.
Yeah. And that was really what you see, and a lot of the comparisons you'll see in the news is people from this area complaining that Miami gets a lot more money, and they do, because they were the last community to come online in privatization, and they negotiated a much higher starting point to use their money to keep kids out of the system. And so I'm sorry, that's my kid calling from school. So there was an attempt to incentivize better performance with more money, but then it's devolved back into a complex funding system. It has many moving parts.
Tell us, Kelly or Robin, who's most comfortable with this, what is the role of the guardian ad litem in the system, and how they are being used, and whether they're being used to supplement, what the community-based care organization and Eckerd Connect is doing or not doing for at-risk children?
Robin's in a better position to answer that.
Sure. So nationally, what we see is when children have a volunteer, like a guardian ad litem, those children end up getting more services. The volunteer...
Squeaky wheel? A squeaky wheel gets the grease?
And they have, they don't have caseloads. The volunteers don't have caseloads. They have one or two children, or and so they can give more attention, they can identify more things. That doesn't necessarily mean that the kids have better outcomes. There's no evidence on that, but they do get more services. Their role is, their statutory obligation is to represent the child in court and to tell the court what they think that would be in the best interest of the child. What we see frequently is that they are not necessarily independent of what the agency, you know, what the state wants or says they want for the kid. And I think there's a sometimes a frustration. It would probably be good for you to talk to volunteers or former volunteers about their relationship and what they, how they can advocate individually for kids, or what the program requires them to do as far as advocacy goes.
Well, we have an email from Lois in Pinellas who says, "This is the first I've heard of this. I'm greatly disturbed by this. What I have not even seen this in the news. How sad." Well, Lois, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this show, because I felt that this was an important issue that was not getting enough attention. But Lois goes on to say, "I live in Pinellas County, and I know that there's a great need for guardian ad litems. And as for case managers, yes, they should make more money. Here's a suggestion. There are plenty of folks that may want to be a case manager but do not have a bachelor's degree in social work. I'm a mother of three for over 20 years and have helped many people with their kids. Life experience should be taken into consideration in looking for good people as case managers. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What can I do to help?" What can we answer, Lois, about this?
I've been in conversation with USF, who does a training curriculum for case managers, and I think that they are looking at this in other states and how that's working for them. But I will say that they have revised their case management training. They are looking at doing more field work for the trainees, and I think that is, especially for individuals that are right out of college, that is so, that field work is so important. And they're looking at Pennsylvania's model of training. I'm sure you're familiar with that, Robin, so hopefully we can get that online and get a waiver to have that started immediately.
Well, I know that in the school system, for example, they're so desperate for substitute teachers now that they've lowered the requirements to anybody who has a high school diploma and can pass the background check can be a substitute teacher now in Hillsborough County Schools. And it would seem to me that Lois has a good point here about bringing in people who are experienced with children in general, but may lack the advanced degrees that have been required to be case managers.
Go ahead, Robin.
A degree is required, but I don't think a BSW is required. And there are plenty of openings, so please apply if you're at all interested in it.
So you're saying you don't need a bachelor's of social work. You can have a bachelor's in biology and apply for that matter. Is that what you're saying, Robin?
I believe that is the case.
Okay.
I'm not involved in the hiring, but I don't think there's a statutory requirement that all case managers have a bachelor's in social work.
Okay.
No, it is not a requirement that it has to be in social work. And, you know, there's a lot of lived experience out there that might work with case management. This is hard work, and it's taxing work emotionally, so you have to be prepared for that. But I think lived experience would and should be considered.
Yeah, well, you know, the listeners of WMNF are a very caring community, a very generous community, a very educated community. So, that may be something that they may be interested in pursuing. To help to get involved in improving the lives of at-risk children in Tampa Bay. Who would they contact if they wanted to apply?
Well, they could contact the ECRD, the lead agency right now, they're on board until July 1, or the contracted agency's Livestream is one of them. I know that they're desperate for case managers right now, so Livestream would really appreciate any applications that could come in. But Eckerd should still be taking applications also.
And because, Shelley, the way it works is the Eckerd contracts with several different agencies to do the case management work. So any of those agencies, Gulf Coast Jewish Family Services, Lutheran might be doing it, Lutheran Services.
Devereaux, Livestream, and Gulf Coast right now, I think. But, Robin, that brings up a really good point. In the plan that Community Alliance is going to submit to DCF, we would like to see one case management agency, because when you have three, and at one point they have five, and when you have that many agencies that they have their own leadership, their own everything from different holidays on, we need one case management agency for consistency and quality assurance.
So that's going to be one of the plan proposals that the Children's Board is putting forward to DCF.
It is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I think another issue that certainly the listeners might be interested in hearing more about is the availability of foster care families. Robin, if I understand correctly, there's a real need for more foster care families in Hillsborough County and obviously in the Tri-County region.
Absolutely.
What are the kinds of requirements that are necessary to meet to become a foster care family?
You have to be adults. You have to be able to pass a background check and not have a criminal history, have stable housing and lifestyle. It can't be your job. Some places have professional foster parents. We don't have that in Hillsborough County right now. So you have to have other income and a stable home and then be willing to take the training to go through it. And we're especially in need of families who are willing to put in the time and love and attention to deal with teenagers who have gone through a lot of trauma, both from before they came into the system and then from the system itself. But there's a whole range of children that come into care, and they need good family support. So people that are willing to, it is not a...
Is it a financial burden for foster care families to take in foster children?
A licensed foster parent gets starting around $500 a month to help with the care of the children. And depending on how you run your household, you might go out of pocket to do more. If you do go out of pocket to do more, that actually can be a tax deduction, a charitable contribution. So you should not go into it thinking that you're going to make money. The foster parents that take young children and want to make sure they're in high-quality early education do often go out of pocket for additional child care subsidy, which is part of why there's a bill this year that would add additional funds to help defray that expense. But there is assistance for young children with WIC, which is Women, Infants, and Children, with formula. So you're not going to get rich from it. Hopefully you won't lose a lot of money doing it either. But it is a big time investment. People have the heart and are willing to put in the time to give to children to help them move forward in their lives. And quite frankly, we really want them to have an eye to helping the child's family of origin. Most of our children will go home, and their time in foster care and their return home will be much more successful if the foster parent works with the birth family. And so that is an expectation that everyone should have going into it, is that you're helping a whole family by taking good care of the child at the time and really working with their birth parent to make that transition back home successful. So, I think that attitude going in is really important as well.
And what about outside additional services like medical care, mental health care, and the those types of things. Does the system help the foster family provide those services
all
for the kids?
All the kids have Medicaid and includes access to mental health services. I think in Hillsborough, it's
theoretically.
Theoretically,
yes. Yes. And I would say that, you know, you don't have to be a perfect person to be a foster parent. I was a foster parent for years, and it's very, very rewarding. But you have to understand that these children have experienced trauma that are coming into your home. And anybody that's going to be considering being a foster parent, I would suggest that they look at the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, just to educate themselves on these children have been traumatized that are coming into care, even if it's just being removed from their family.
And Shelley, I want to throw out one more thing because I know our time is coming to an end. We haven't at all scratched the issue of the front door, and I hope that you would consider doing a program on the child protective investigations and especially a look at the disproportionate racial impact of the investigative system on communities of color in our area.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And well, we have a few minutes. Give us a precis of that, an overview of what you're referring to. What is the front door? Is it just your phrase of describing, you know, how kids get removed?
Yes. So it's a call to the hotline referral to in Hillsborough and in Pinellas and Pasco. It's the child protective investigators are contracted by DCF to the sheriff. A civil employee of the sheriff's office does the investigation and makes the recommendation about whether the child should be removed from the home or not. And so that is how kids come into the system.
And something like 29% of children in the state's foster care system are Black.
And the disproportionality is evident throughout the system. And we hold up as an example in comparison, Broward County had they made the decision to do a very race intentional training with their child protective investigators, and they substantially reduced the number of children coming into care who were brought into care, and they did not increase the number who were subsequently harmed at home. So,
I think it's important to point out, though, that so when we talk about the child welfare system, we're not just talking about pulling kids out of their homes. We're talking about the support that's necessary for families so that kids are not pulled out. That's one of the things that the Children's Board is very involved in. Isn't that right, Kelly?
That is true. And it's evidenced by the spending of the flex funds that I was referencing earlier, that those funds are not being spent to keep the children in the home. And you know, sometimes it's just an issue where a parent's temporarily out of work and has gone through hard times, maybe has, in this environment, been evicted from their home. We need to do everything we can to keep those families stable, and the Children's Board is doing a yeoman's job of addressing that right now.
Yeah, I think that with everything that's been going on with COVID and the rash of evictions and people losing their jobs, there's so much more instability in families right now than there has been in the recent past. We are pretty much at the end of our time for today's show, and we, like Robin said, have only just begun to scratch the surface on this issue of child welfare, and hopefully we will come back to it again in a future show. But I want to thank both my guests, Kelly Paris, Executive Director of the Children's Board of Hillsborough County, and Robin Rosenberg, Deputy Director of Florida Children's First, for being with us today. I also want to thank Lamar for staffing the show today, running the board, and Frank for answering phones. We literally could not present the show without you. Please tune in next week for more Midpoint. You have been listening to WMNF Tampa. Please stay tuned for Duncan Strauss with Talking Animals.